Mr. Fox, it's verboten.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this, the 242nd edition of A Walk in the Black Forest. On tonight's show, Little Johnny returns to flip-flop again. Millions of peaches, she's free. Governing by inquiry, Costello and Costello, entertainment highlights in history, We Want You Bono, and We Punch the Lord of the Rings. All that, and a canoodling schmoodle, A Walk in the Black Forest, three guys, a girl, and a freshly cleaned pole. Do you like that?
No.
That's classic.
Can I be the girl?
Can I just be the pole?
You are the pole.
I want to be from Warsaw. Is that okay? Krakow, maybe.
Mighty Husker Du. Everything falls apart. That song was...
Hey.
Yes, Richard.
Does this hurt?
Ow! Jesus Christ!
What did you do that for?
Punch me, the fucker!
Get down!
Do you want me to take him out the back?
Does it,
yes.
Does it hurt?
Yes! Pull it off! Fucking yes!
Right, that's three in about 2 seconds.
Ow!
What?
I don't want to know. What was that all about?
What's next?
Am I going to ask what that was?
Visual humor.
It wasn't visual, Herbert. It was
being painful.
No. I'm not touching you. I'm not going near you ever again. Everything falls apart. That's good. I'm going to be professional and just focus on the pain. Focus on the pain.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
During the song,
yeah,
when Pete put Husker Du on,
yeah,
Richard looked across and went, oh, I was listening to that album the other day. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
What'd you say then?
I found it the other day.
I thought I'd lost that album the other day.
You've got to understand, I'll put a little bit of a behind the scenes of A Walk in the Black Forest here together. That during the song breaks, particularly...
Is it just Abe embellishing your mind
relationship, I think? I think it is. And Abe, we should actually point in between these song breaks, Abe's leather pants without the crotch. Mm.
PBC.
Sometimes right up.
Excuse me.
PBC.
Sometimes
right up.
But give him his minute, Pete.
Yeah, I think so. Sorry, you're right.
Leather sweats in an ugly way, yep, and PBC is just sexy. Okay?
No
right,
problem.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I just need to put that out there. They like to commune. It's kind of like... Well, could be. I think it's kind of almost like a pseudo-sexual kind of canoodling or schmoodling, where they get together and they compare the things that they have, such as the music and the various loves that they have in their lives, and, you know...
See how we compare burps.
That's pretty much it, that's all I had to say.
Right.
And that was behind the scenes of A Walk in the Black Forest.
And then Richard punched me.
What? Can I ask why?
No.
Could I ask why?
That's sports radio.
You know what it is?
It's radio.
Repressed homosexual desire.
Must be. This is A Walk in the Black Forest here on 888.5 FM, 22 minutes, the hour of 11 o'clock, or, of course, if you're listening to our podcast.
It's now.
Welcome.
It's not my problem, my dick's bigger.
Sorry.
Even going to go down.
We should actually say something. I did actually say that we're supposed to do Everything Falls Apart. That's the very first single, but that is compiled on Everything Falls Apart and more. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now,
We try to keep a modicum of professional radio in this room,
we do.
Just shut up all of your mics and just talk. Hi, welcome to the show.
Nice. Now,
what is a modicum? That's a beautiful word, isn't it? Modicum, Pete?
Modicum.
You know you're an academic dick.
I'm doing well today. Today, I think it's actually... It's pick on Peter Day today.
I walked into the studio this afternoon and I tossed a coin.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
I came up.
Mm.
Yeah, damn. Every damn week. Draw the short straw. I should just get that operation and just get rid of that short straw.
I was going to say.
Can we get off to penis jokes now?
Please, please.
Now, yesterday, the government released its results of a government commission review into nuclear power. Now, interestingly, it was held by a noted nuclear expert, our former head of Telstra, Dr. Z. Switkowski.
He's good. I like his work. I always have.
Nobel Prize winner, I believe, for nuclear energy.
As we used to call him, Ziggy Stardust.
Ziggy Stardust.
The funny thing about this inquiry...
And the Turd Boys from Mars.
And the Turd Boys from Mars. Mm-hmm. Were they there too?
They were.
That's awesome. Why are we having this debate? I'm a little confused.
Now, interestingly, this debate, of course, is coming up because John Howard has become...
Ask a question as well.
Sure.
What the fuck would that idiot know about nuclear power?
That's a damn fine point, and I'm glad you've made that.
He certainly knew nothing about fucking telecom.
That's Tooth Richard, I believe.
I was going to say, I forgot to mark these.
Now, for those of you, by the way, I'll come back to this in 2 seconds. For those of you who are interested, Abe has indeed put a swear alert on a swear alert on our website.
Do you know where I got it from?
The US government.
The US government.
Office of Homeland Security.
Yeah. So currently we're at,
We're at Elevated.
We're at Elevated. Today we're moving up, are we?
Fixed graphic, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've gone past...
Just did a whole lot of paint work.
I.e. it'll never change.
Are we anywhere near alert but not alarmed?
Look, at some point I'm sure we will be alert, and other times we'll be alarmed.
Yeah, fair enough. Now,
and sometimes just aroused.
To me, this is the concept
of... alert. You're probably pretty alarmed.
I'm very alarmed at the moment.
And I'm not really very aroused.
Now, interestingly, this report has come out because John Howard has basically declared himself to be a climate warrior.
Because we found out last week.
He's a warrior.
Eco-warrior.
The Daily Telegraph, I believe, professed him as the only man for the job.
Really?
But funnily enough, he wasn't selected by Al Gore and his 85 people to profess the word. He wasn't good enough to be in the top 85.
Isn't that interesting? I'm a bit confused because, as we discussed last week, Little Johnny, Flip-Flop Johnny, this is one of his bigger flip-flops, along with There'll Be No GST.
Yep.
You know, come to our country, you're welcome. Yep. That kind
and
of
I am not an animal.
Yes. yes, that one. Mm. So all of these are flip-flops, and he's yet another one.
Mm. Well, so basically what he did was, because he's a little bit of a fan... of nuclear energy.
Mm. And why is he?
There's a couple of reasons.
Has he ever come out and said no? He's never come out and said that we won't use nuclear power.
No, never. Not at all.
He's never
said
that.
In fact, he's always been advocating it. But his biggest problem is, as most people know, is the NIMBY situation. You know, whether in hell are you going to actually put one of these nuclear reactors because nobody wants it in their backyard.
Benelong. He's a prime minister.
Right here in Gladesville.
Right.
Let's put all...
Under this radio station, we could take a tap off it and that could be our power.
That'd be nice. Let's build all 24 of them. They say we're going to need 24 or 22 or something, all in Benelong, because he's the prime minister of the day.
Yep.
That's the same thing. If the prime minister of the day decides to build a toxic waste dump in their electorate. Now, see, that's responsible government.
Yep.
The good thing about having the toxic waste dump here is we wouldn't need a microwave transmitter anymore.
That's very true.
It would be built in.
That'd be nice. That'd be useful, actually. And in some way, saving some of the limited funds that we get from this stupid turd.
We also won't need lights because everything glows in the dark.
Nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
And we won't need to, when there's World War III, we won't need to build a bunker because we already would have sunk underground already.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm, you're thinking this through.
You are.
I like that.
Now, basically, funnily enough, the review by Dr. Switkowski...
And some of our announcers will actually be no longer proclaimed technically dead. Mm. We'll have a bit of life in them.
Only just.
Yeah, exactly.
Medically.
Now our phone's ringing too.
All right.
But Dr. Switkowski has said that...
complaints are early tonight.
Yeah, the complaints are early tonight. Dr. Switkowski's out there and he's basically talking about how... he believes that nuclear power could actually feed into the grid within 10 to 15 years.
Yep.
Uranium production would help ease greenhouse gas emissions, but it would continue to reduce carbon emissions through coal and gas.
Yep.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Now, to me, it's the concept of what I call governing by inquiry.
Yes.
The idea that you set up an inquiry with someone who is generally friendly to your point of view, so that you have an expert opinion that goes out there and says what you want them to say.
Mm.
Very similar to what the Americans have done currently with the Jim Baker inquiry, yep. What's called the Iraq Study Group, which is basically to say that Iraq's the biggest sticking mess since, since mess, really, was invented, and this is our way out of it.
Since Custer, perhaps.
Quite possibly. Now, the only piece of press that was published about this, and this is the piece that I find most interesting, if you were going to choose somebody to give a fairly important puff piece about the success or relevance of this inquiry, if you were going to do that, who would you pick? Who would the government say be the best person to sell this to the public, the sort of person that the public would
Alexander expect? Downer. There's a lot of respect in it, man.
He'd be on my list.
I use the word man generally.
Wilson Tuckey.
No. Would you say that the executive director of the Australian Uranium Association would be the person you'd pick?
He's impartial. I like the work.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Michael Angwin is his name?
I wouldn't pay any attention to his actual job.
I think he's obviously
accidental.
Exactly. Incidental, almost. Mm. He's welcomed the report and hopes it leads to more debate about the issue. There are many aspects of the nuclear fuel cycle about which Australians would like to know more.
Mm.
And to that extent, the report that Dr. Switkowski has released today will be a great contribution to Australia's understanding of the nuclear fuel cycle.
So let me get this straight. If, say, for instance, you wanted to do a study about whether eating meat was a good thing, would you be choosing the Australian Meat Board to do it?
I would too.
Would you?
Now, we'll make the job easier.
Thank you for reinforcing my jokes.
Now, I want to actually talk about...
Can someone else ring so I can leave?
Sure. I'd like to give a... who was that, by the way? Anyone we want to chat to later?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Do we have to discuss that now?
No, I just thought it might have been my mum.
I'll turn off the lights and I'll tell you. See?
Yeah, nice. Hey, that was my mum. Thanks, mum. Now, and I know I left my clothes on the line. I want to talk about us setting up our own inquiry.
Oh, okay.
Using this as a method of...
I think it's an awesome idea.
Because, you know, obviously, John Howard had completely impartial views on nuclear energy, and I'm sure he gave Ziggy Switkowski a very impartial set of terms of reference on nuclear energy to come out with an impartial finding on Australia's impartial approach to the development of impartial nuclear energy. So... let's construct an inquiry, I think, into Australia's future in the Iraq War, very similar to the Iraq Study Group. Let's work with that. Let's call it the WUB of Iraq Study Group, for want of a better name.
Yep. That's good. We could just put WBF in front of the other one.
Nice.
We get, like, a logo there and everything.
And so we'd be WUB of SIG.
Yeah, that's right. Or maybe just WUSIG.
So who would you get if we were setting this up along the conditions that our impartial Prime Minister has set up for us? Who would you get to head it?
Peter Cosgrove.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, good one, Abe.
I'd either get Peter Cosgrove.
Great Australian.
Or, you know what we could do? We can get an international expert and get Dick Cheney. Or Donald Rumsfeld. He doesn't have a job at the moment.
I was going to say Colin Powell, but I'd go with you.
I'd go with Don. I reckon he's out of a job at the moment.
He needs something to do.
He does.
You know, apparently he's at home making models of ships, and that's not healthy for anyone.
I think apparently he's actually trying to work out what his defence is going to be to the International War Crimes Tribunal when he's brought before it. But anyway...
probably, I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't recall.
Sorry. Oliver North? No, I don't know him. So, we'd pick Donald Rumsfeld. Excellent. That's a good starting point. Now, if we're looking at Australia's future in the whole Iraq conflict,
so
trying to work out perhaps our exit strategy.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So, what sort of terms of reference... oh, that was a real good pop.
That was good, wasn't it?
What sort of terms of reference would we use to sort of come out with an impartial, open, and useful findings?
Right.
What sort of things would you tell Don, as I think we should call him?
Mm.
Rummy?
Rummy. The Rum.
The Rummeister?
Mm.
The Rumster?
Rummy Rum and the Funky Bunch.
Or we'd tell him what we want.
That's a good point.
Mm.
So we'd want anything America wants?
No.
No?
No, not necessarily.
I think we would design a strategy similar to the strategy we have now, but with a different name.
Nice. Mm. Nice. Any ideas for some names, or we would leave that to Rummy?
I think we should call it the Australian Long-Term Strategic Deployment Theory.
Nice.
Do you like that?
That was good.
That's good.
That's good.
What is it again?
Australian Long-Term Deployment Theory.
Strategic.
Now, how about this? sod.
Sod. Nice. I like that.
So we have Rummy. We have our terms of reference. Mm. Now, based on the fact that the Australian Uranium Association is executive
director. That would be the Strategic Defence Department.
It would be.
What? Sod.
Sod.
Mm. Okay.
Based on the fact that the Australian Uranium Association is executive director, Michael Engwood, was the salesperson for the Ziggy Sweet Kautzkin thing.
Yep.
What sort of other expert, what sort of expert witnesses, people who would obviously add to the impartiality, the openness, the relevance, and probably the national importance of this inquiry? So we've got Rummy up there heading it. What sort of people do you think could add to it? Now, I've got a few.
John Howard, he's a statesman.
He is a statesman and obviously could be relied on to not in any way, shape, or form be biased.
No, of course not. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't be Prime Minister.
I think George W. Bush might be willing to send
George
a tape.
Bush, I think so.
A tape?
He'd send a tape.
Some evidence of some sort or another.
I like John Howard. He's my friend. That's the sort of tape we need.
I like, insert name here, yes. He's my friend.
Yes, exactly.
Remember, you're either with us or against us.
Yes, and, insert name here, is the Deputy Sheriff of... insert region here.
Nice.
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 That works for me.
Unfortunately, I was a little bit confused. Yes. They said Chiang Kai-shek was actually in charge of Tibet.
Yes.
It got ugly. The Tibetans weren't very happy.
And Beng Beng Yudinayo was actually in charge of Venezuela.
Yes. We're probably more happy with him there.
Good point. So we've got, obviously, John and W. They,
yep.
they would contribute in some way.
And Rummy.
I've got a few suggestions.
Mm.
I think little Sophie Delizio.
Really?
She's a great Australian.
That's brilliant.
You know, she survived, heartache and survived injury, and I think she's got a lot to contribute to
and
this.
To go along with that?
Yeah.
Is she?
She's the kid that was knocked over in the...
Oh, little kid.
Yeah, little kid. I think even better. I've got a better one. Nikki Webster.
Hello?
We could bring in Nikki Webster, you know? I mean, look, she's strategic. She's got an over-the-top view.
Okay.
She's been high up and she can look over the top.
You know who else has a really great feel for the Australian mood?
Who?
Bindi Crocodile Hunter. Crocodile Hunter. She's
nice.
Down with it. She understands the Australian community.
Yeah, she's a wildlife warrior.
Something like... In fact, I believe she's teaching John Howard everything he knows.
Excellent.
Pity he won't stick his head in a crocodile's mouth.
That'd be nice. Any other ideas? Any other thoughts you might think that would add something to our strategic perspective over there?
Bucket of prawns in the sun?
Yeah, pretty much, really. My whole point of this, ladies and gentlemen, for the want of the attempt.
Mm.
You need a song, don't you? Yeah, sorry. Well, you know, unfortunately, I have to be literal because if I don't, I'm thinking you're either trying to indicate to me that you love me. Or that there are two ships sort of, you know, port
okay.
of the end of this
now,
thing.
Again,
let's rethink that.
Behind the scenes of A Walk in the Black Forest, a subtle hand movement was made to tell Peter that a disc would be needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of subtly going along with that...
Unfortunately, the hand movement looked like another hand movement. Also used.
Yeah, exactly right. See, I was trying to think of other things that didn't involve masturbation. But I couldn't get anywhere with it.
So I hear.
Yeah, boom, boom. My point of this, ladies and gentlemen, is that governing by inquiry is the new modus operandi of the neoconservative movement.
Fascists.
Bush is doing it with the Iraq Study Group. Howard's obviously releasing a number of inquiries. The big inquiry to keep your mind on and your attention on over the next week and how that changes the government is the AWB inquiry, which all the results come out on Friday.
Yeah, right.
Alexander Downer on Sunday was sitting on insiders looking like the cat who didn't just steal the cream but ate the entire fucking jar. So I would suspect perhaps Alexander may be fairly confident that him, Mr. Vale, and Mr. Howard will be cleared of, shall we say, incompetence.
I believe there's also another study group that they're starting up.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one. It's going to be headed up by some well-known Australian celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an inquiry into why the hell is Kim Beazley so fat.
Excellent.
Yeah, the government put that together, and of course that's a core...
Bert Newton's helming that, isn't it?
It could be, and that's a core thing that the government's into at the moment, because that's the most important thing on their mind.
It's a sad, sad fact. This is the Walkabout Forest, Switchable Eye, 88.5 FM, and this is the go-between.
You want to give me a track number, dude, or I'm just...
Oh, track one, that's what I said. I gave... To give you some subtle things, with A-Bast and I gave the disc, I went like this, which indicates track one.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were just telling me where to stick it.
I was.
That was the go-betweens and the trainers.
And so I said to him, look, John, if you don't bend over more, I'm not going to be able to get my dick in your ass.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Oh, that was just class.
Class radio program. I'm leaving.
I'm leaving. I'm walking out. I'm going now.
Was there anything I could do? Was the name of the track that was about to go between? And as much as I don't like promoting other radio station stuff, I will say that Triple J is actually doing a go-betweens tribute in Brisbane to the late Grant McLennan, and yeah, it should be really, really good.
And you do, of course, realise why they do.
Why?
Because their core audience is of the age.
Exactly.
To be, they're fans, basically.
Now, yeah, interestingly,
entirely transparent as that is.
The arrival of Bono in this country in the last couple of weeks.
Hold on. Can we just... You two frontman, UN spokesman, Bono.
Thank you. All right. Are you going to say that every time I say the word Bono?
If I remember.
I just said Bono.
Shut up.
So, Bono, the arrival of Bono in this country has caused a storm, if you will.
A storm is coming.
Now, Bono,
an earthquake, if you will.
Now, Bono got to visit a number of parts of the show. John Howard refused to talk to him. Because Bono put a put a caveat on meeting him that said that unless Australia was willing to give 0.7% of its GDP to debt reduction in the third world, Bono wouldn't meet him. John Howard told him to golf, so he doesn't want to do that.
I've got to say something. If Bono said that to me, I'd probably come back with the same response.
So I'd say, sure, Bono, no.
But the interesting thing, oh, you're probably going to mention it, but you know, he then goes on and am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, go, go, go.
He then goes and meets with Costello.
He does.
Without any sort of... look, well, he wouldn't speak. I'll speak to you.
Yeah,
is that all right? And we can speak about anything you like.
Yeah, of course. And Costello said, doesn't really know U2 music. He's a bit of a fan of Van Morrison. Likes a bit of Van.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't really like you. Doesn't really know much about U2, although he does remember that Pride song.
Oh, dear. Can you believe these people are running the country?
Well, yes, I can, and we keep electing them.
I don't.
No, no, but we as a country are talking Collective Australia. We elect them.
Well, technically, Australia did.
And those people who elect them, wake up to yourselves, morons. Anyway, thank you.
Did he swear?
No, I just said morons.
That's close. I'll give him one as well.
Oh, thank you. During the week, Costello's had a busy week, because he got to meet Bono, which is really important. But what has also set off has been the sort of rather quiet debate that's been going on between Costello and his brother, Tim Costello, who's currently a head of World Vision, Managing Director or Chief Executive of World Vision.
Mm.
Now, as for anyone who's been following the rampant, rampant, it's a good word, rampant sibling rivalry that exists between Peter and Tim, Tim is a reverend. The Church of England, the United Church, I can't remember which.
One of the two. One of the ones with a cross.
He's what you'd probably generally
regard... Sure, they're a cross.
Oh, they, a cross? There's a cross in there, yeah.
That was the Nazis.
Oh, Peter Costello, I got that. Yeah. That was Peter, that's his church.
That's his church. Yeah, fair enough. So,
well, funny if I didn't stop this.
So, the...
it was amusing, anyway.
It was.
Yeah.
So, Tim Costello was what you'd probably regard
even
as...
even funnier with the hand movements, I must say.
Fairly rampantly left-wing.
Look, I don't know. He's not so much left-wing as socially conscious, because he has actually come out before with some fairly conservative stuff.
But he's also fairly non-conservative in many areas.
Yes,
Particularly in areas of social justice and things like that. Peter Costello is what you'd regard as fairly rampantly right-wing.
He's a fascist twat.
Fair enough. Not as much as his boss, but pretty close.
Mm. Now, well, see, some would say possibly even more so, but then again...
He's also
a sexually liberated... Oh, no, that's funny, isn't it? Maybe they both are with each other.
Baby. Oh, Costello does indeed... Costello is a little bit more socially liberal than liberal in small L terms than Howard.
Dude, that's not hard.
That's very true.
John Howard doesn't understand the idea of socially responsible. What was the last socially responsible policy John Howard came out with? Let's get this straight. Today, let's build some nuclear reactors. There's a whole lot of fucking sun in the sky. Let's not do solar power. Let's not do wind power, which would just attach to Peter Costello's head and get a whole lot of wind coming out of his head. Let's build nuclear reactors, which would go to American companies. Oh, geez, what if he's going to get that
money? By any chance.
Kick back!
The technology isn't there to actually replace most of our coal with wind and...
And it destroys
the point being is we can supplement. That's the point. I mean, at the moment what they've done is they've... in the last couple of years, they've made those kind of, like the invention of the microchip, and they've come up with what they consider to be the solar cell version of a microchip, so a much smaller one, so it can condense a lot more into like much smaller space.
But the issue, of course, with wind power is that we may destroy the habitat of the orange-bellied parakeet.
And
we can't afford to do that.
No, we can't.
Because, you know, they're too much of an important... They're almost as important as the rest of our flora and fauna.
Mm.
Almost.
Not quite.
So, during the week, there's been a bit of a shall we say, reigniting of the sibling rivalry.
It's more important than the life of some of our politicians, I would suggest.
I would probably agree with you.
Maybe we could burn them in the coal pits.
Nice. We could have a Howard-fired power station.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
That works for me.
It'd be a lot of hot air.
Coal, or Howard.
Exactly. I'd be ticking Howard.
I'd be ticking Howard.
Yes. Which you'd have to take his boots off, because otherwise they'd little kind of, you know, steel cap boots.
Wow.
And little...
I never thought I'd be voting Howard.
I'll be voting Howard on my next energy bill. And we at this program, we urge you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, during the week, Costello and then...
So, what, nailed to one of those big wind vanes spinning round?
Nice.
No, that's a bit Christianic, isn't burning. It, really? It's a bit of a symbol.
It's a good burning.
What about wave power? We could just tie him to the bottom of the Great Barrier Reef.
Nice. Nice. He could actually be the sun protector that stops it from getting bleached.
You know what we could do? We could actually attach him to, like, a large paddle and say... splash it against the water, Howard side down, to create the waves.
Nice.
Splash, awesome.
Nice. Nice. And you get a bit of wave diffusion from the eyebrows,
That's
too.
A good idea.
What if we built, like, nuclear reactors everywhere and we put him inside one of those?
Just bits of it.
Yeah.
So bits in each one.
Yeah, exactly.
The other.
Yeah, that works. Glasses in another.
They'd probably grow into a new little mutant John Howard, wouldn't
they? That's what we need. 22 John Howards.
Mm.
Kept marching down the street. So, back to
solar power, like one of those Japanese game shows, you know, where they get the magnifying glass and they burn your nipples?
Nice.
I'd like to do that. Not necessarily your nipples.
Eyebrows?
Oh, maybe. Maybe later.
Maybe we'll talk about that one later. So.
I'm a little afraid.
Tim. Peter.
Yes, Tim.
Peter. So, during the week.
Your namesake.
Sibling. Rivalry. Reignited, all that sort of stuff.
The love.
What basically happened was, and this once again is a microcosm of the neoconservative movement. Oh, not a microcosm, that's the completely wrong use of that word. It is a...
I'm glad you got it out there, Pete.
Thank you.
Because it's about time we had a microcosm.
It is. It's a smoogle.
What is a smoogle? You guys have been going on about this all night.
Okay, earlier tonight, Abe asked me where he should place his soon-to-be-released musical bit that he has in the show. And he says, I don't want to do it early. And I don't want to do it at the end. So I said, what about the middle? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, what about something that's halfway between the middle and the end? And I said, I'm going to invent a word for that. I'm going to call it the smoogle.
As opposed to the word the middle, which is the other word you could use.
But halfway between the beginning and the middle, though. What's that halfway between the middle and the beginning? It's the smoogle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hence the smoogle.
Now,
where's the ooh come from?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Wouldn't it be the smiddle?
Could be the smiddle. That's true. But see, that would just be too literal. He is. I know.
He's such a smart ass.
He's a linguist.
That's a word for it. I'm a little concerned about this Costello debate. Do you like that? That was deflation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can you imagine the Costello household at Christmas? Oh, Mum, but I brought in the good national debt. Oh, but Mum, look at me. I was the one who saved children from poverty. But Mum, I'm the treasurer. But I love God. You see? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine the Christmas table?
Now, both of you just shut up.
Actually, I hear their mum said that.
So,
kicked to the head.
What happened during the week, and this is once again an example of the neoconservative movement, Tim Costello basically says to his brother, look at the poverty in the world. Look at third world poverty. Look at these people dying of AIDS. Look at these people who are, you know, we're losing a person a minute in Africa from hunger. Mm. And you know what? The amount of money that you guys spend on a bottle of Grange Hermitage in the parliamentary dining room could save... the thousands of people, right?
And of course, the irony of that is that...
I'm paraphrasing that bit.
Yes, of course. But the irony of that is that the leadership of the Christian Church, which many people see as the Vatican, I suppose, is actually, as we discussed the other week, is the organisation which is pretty much solely responsible for keeping people from using contraception in the third world, which would mean the people having a lot more children. It means there's more people with a lot less food. But anyway. Conflict. And Bono, too. Bono's Catholic. What's going on there?
I don't know.
As he spoke
what if we ate Catholics?
Oh, no, they're too stringy.
Oh, yeah, apparently.
So what happened during the week then was, so he went to his brother and said, you know what, this is a problem, you know? And he said, and the facts for this are coming from the World Bank, they're coming from third world debt relief agencies, including World Vision, and he said, and they're also coming from, you know, the UN and UNESCO and places like that.
Costello, who obviously didn't want to agree with his brother because basically it demonstrates that the government would rather give money back to people for private health cover or give them back tax cuts so they could go and pay off their mortgages, which are so damn big because people are so greedy in this country now.
That's the point.
That he goes, well, actually, you know what, I question those figures. I question what the World Bank says. I question what the UN. I think the things are wrong.
This would have to be the first time Peter Costello's ever questioned the World Bank. He loves the World Bank.
Paul Wolfowitz, the head of the World Bank, is one of the hawks.
He's ex-neocon.
He's an ex-neocon from the first Bush cabinet.
Mm.
So what gets me is that rather than debating the issue, rather than sitting there going, you know what, yeah, okay, there are people dying, but you know what? We can't fix it. We've got other things. We've got greater priorities. And admitting their greater priorities, you effectively target the messenger. You take out the messenger. The messenger from the World Bank says, you know, people are dying. Ooh, are you sure? How do you know that? Can you prove it?
No one.
Show me a dead man.
Yeah. So exactly.
No. Yeah. No one dies anymore.
No. Exactly.
Are you kidding? Everyone's rich.
Did you know that in Africa, they live in gleaming cities?
Really?
Are they made of crystal? Gleaming cities. They're made of crystal.
That's lovely.
Every single person in Africa, every one of them, has their own banana lounge.
Really? And their own mobile phone.
They're all just laying back. And do you know that every single person in Africa is sipping on a martini at the moment?
Really?
I know.
Did you know? I hear actually that Africa is actually one of the nations that provides some of the best bobsledders in the world.
I've heard that.
Best bobsledders.
And did you know that there is not a single African child suffering for food?
Really?
No. In fact, you know, there's a bit of a problem. I think there's actually almost an obesity problem.
They've got
too much food.
You know,
I've heard that every African family, Pete, has their own nuclear reactor in their backyard.
Exactly.
See, that's what we need to be aiming for in Australia.
And do you know what? There's no climate change in Africa.
Oh, really?
They've solved the problem.
Mm. Wow.
They have. Because you know why? As Richard said, they have nuclear power.
Mm.
That's one way to solve the climate change problem.
It solves everything.
And do you know what they have?
Mm.
They also have this thing called clean coal.
Oh.
They've also got rocket ships and transporters as well.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Cool. That's cool.
Clean coal's a great idea, isn't
it's
it?
It's a great idea. Mm.
It's great because it's coal,
but it's clean.
But it's clean.
Amazing.
How do they do that?
The environment. I don't know how they do that. It's amazing.
You know what they do? Mm. They use their matter transporters to take out the sulfur.
That's very clever.
Oh, what we need then is if we can meld them together, what if we had clean uranium?
Ooh, even better.
That's a good idea.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I was interested to hear today on the news everyone describing it as the only clean energy source. And I'm thinking, that's a little strange, isn't it?
Yeah. What's Warragamba Dam doing?
It has to be clean. It's water.
Oh, it's water.
See?
It's clean.
Oh, you know what we should do? We should build a nuclear power reactors in Warragamba Dam.
Nice. Oh, awesome. Nice. See? Talk about heavy water.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
Multiple usages, reuse, recycle.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
We're not taking up any more land.
No, I agree.
Exactly. And you know, it'll encourage rain.
So, I'm starting to agree with Peter Costello that there isn't a hunger problem at all in Africa.
No.
There's certainly not an AIDS problem in Africa because, you know what? Every single African male has that free and open access to birth control.
They do.
Look, they're slipping on condoms all around the streets. Mm. They're just everywhere.
You know, all they need
to do... Look at the railway stations, there's gleaming trains.
There's too many condoms.
There's too many.
They're asking democracies to stop sending condoms.
Yeah, exactly.
So many of them.
Exactly. Mm. They have condom mountains.
Mm. Mm. Exactly. I understand, actually, they built a new office block.
Lubricant lakes.
They did, out of condoms.
And completely out of condoms. Look, if they want more condoms, which of course they don't, they can just stroll off to Europe.
Yep.
It's not that far away. It's just above it. Have you seen it on a map?
Exactly.
It's not far. Mm.
And of course,
you just have to go through the Vatican.
So there's no AIDS problem at all in Africa.
No.
And I really want to point out here, there is no such thing as third world debt. You know what third world debt is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the debt that the rest of the world owe to the third world.
Really?
Yeah, we all owe them.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, we owe them for the amazing amount of, you know, cultural richness that the third world has completely stolen.
Paul Simon.
Oh, sorry, we've completely stolen from the third world as well.
Paul Simon. Look, Paul Simon is one of those people that brought African culture to us, and in turn we owe them. That's what the debt's all about.
Sun City. Sun City was actually a
really?
I'd call it a cultural mecca.
Wow.
Mm. Absolutely.
Well, I don't think there was anything wrong with Sun City. A cultural mecca.
Mm.
And you know what?
Run out.
Everything we've said for the last 10 or 15 minutes is complete
And so I said to him...
Yeah. No, I don't think we'll go down that path again. That was Danzig, or as I prefer to call him, Danzig. That was off the very first Danzig album, and the track was called Am I Demon?
No, you're not. You're a twat.
Fair enough.
It's a good album cover, though.
It is a great album cover.
Is it? Give me a look.
Here we go. It's nice. It's like a satanic...
It's not a
goat.
Good album cover.
It's a goat with teeth.
It looks like a black and white version of an old Misfits cover.
That would be about right, really. I wonder why.
What? Because he had a buddy who'd do it cheap?
Probably.
Him. Now, interestingly enough...
Sorry, it's quarter past 11 here on the John Howard Loving.
Mm.
Because you know what? John Howard is my friend.
Is he?
Walking Back Forest.
Well, yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, I'd look like
that. Can I just apologise at this point?
Oh, cool. What for? For punching
me? We've said a lot of really harsh stuff about John Howard.
We have.
This evening. And all I wanted to say is he's not that bad an actor. I mean...
He loved his work on that show.
Yeah.
The Sea Change was good.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
He's not that bad an actor.
No.
So it's not like we really mean it.
No, and he's turned on the Real Sea Change. While I have problems with his sort of like, hey, welcome to the Real Sea Change.
Yeah.
An actor's got to earn a living.
It does. And, you know, we have a show to do.
We do.
So someone gets it, and unfortunately it's
John Howard.
So.
Yep.
But it's not like we're picking on the leaders of this country or anything.
No,
I mean,
why would we do that?
We wouldn't go that far.
No, because, you know what? I have respect for our leaders. I have respect for leadership. I have respect...
Except John Howard. He's a dick.
Yeah, he is.
Nice.
Thank you.
Okay. Now...
Were you going to do that one?
Yeah, I was.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry. John.
Soft cock John.
Speaking of little Johnny...
Little John.
Speaking of soft... See, I call him little Johnny.
Okay, go with it.
I don't know why.
Go with what works for you. Go with what he'd be insulting.
I used to call him little Johnny.
I think Yvonne calls him Little John.
I don't know. I just call him John Howard now because I don't... I'm not even going to give him the respect of having a nickname.
Oh, really? That's pretty good. I like that. That's hardcore.
Just Howard.
Yeah. Howard.
Ooh.
Howard.
Yeah, it's like Beasley.
He's an affront. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. How many people do that? You know, I've never actually heard anyone else other than John Howard be able to use the phrase Mr. Beasley and make it sound like complete fucking wanker.
Pete.
Thank you. But it's true. He basically makes, when he says Mr. Beasley,
oh, yes.
Basically says, could you make him seem emo, wimpy, pointless, and really should just piss off out of Canberra and never come back.
You know, he makes him sound like that little camp guy who's in the Carry On films.
Yes, Kenneth Williams.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
If you would hear Mr. Beasley, it sounds like he's, you know, Kenneth Williams.
It sounds like he's using a Carry On line, which, by the way, Carry On Up the Khyber, I think, is on television tonight, and one of the classic character names from Carry On Up the Khyber, which, very similar to this, is the character Bungdadin. And
that's actually one of my favourites.
And the line comes from Bungdadin up the Jaxie. That's straight out of the film.
Okay,
that's
awesome. Good.
See? Yeah, that's two in one run.
Now, speaking of little Johnny, as we just did...
Or Bungdadin.
Little Johnny is someone who likes to stay on message.
He does. Now, we've discussed this before, yep.
He's a man who stays on message. He's a man who does not bow under public pressure.
No, never.
Never.
But little Johnny's flip-flopped again.
Has he?
I'd actually like to call little Johnny the flip-flopper. That's a very common term in American politics.
It is.
But little Johnny has flip-flopped again today.
Yep.
In Vietnam.
Yep.
He's a bit late, though, isn't he?
Yes, he was.
It was over, like, 20 years ago.
John Howard actually...
30
flew
years ago.
He flew a helicopter to Saigon to get the last people out.
He did.
He hasn't even got a pilot's license. I don't know.
He's a hero. He's a hero.
Lucky he didn't hit any buildings. Now, interestingly enough...
Unlucky.
In 1996, John Howard said that Australia would never become part of Asia. We are not part of Asia. We're, in fact, part of America, part of the American...
Yeah, we're the Pan-American, Pan-Galactic... imperialist.
In other words,
League of Nations.
We're whites.
We are.
That's basically what John Howard was saying.
Yeah.
Well, today, either John Howard's eyesight is failing or he's flip-flopping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking the latter. He said, we are naturally and comfortably and permanently part of this region and see our future in it. So now John Howard's decided we're part of Asia. Now, I'm a little confused as to why John Howard would want to do this. Why John Howard would want to become part of Asia. Now, obviously...
Apart from the fact that he's a complete and utter liar.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Or he's a sycophant.
Because if my memory serves me correct, and please, anyone out there who's a John Howard fan, correct me if I'm wrong.
Or don't bother.
Or don't bother. Then go and listen to another show.
when Paul Keating was instrumental in the formation of APEC, that's right.
If my memory serves me correctly,
bring it on, Pete.
John Howard was vaguely anti that.
I believe the term is critical.
Highly critical. And I think the comment was that why are we moving towards Asia?
Mm.
At the same time, around about 1986, 87, there was a comment made by the aforementioned Howard about
the
television personality.
The global protector of worldwide democracy.
Exactly. Deputy.
Deputy. And climate warrior.
Climate warrior. I'm sure he made some comment, and once again, anyone who's a John Howard fan, correct me if I'm wrong.
Or don't.
That there were some issues about the level of Asian migration to this country. Would I be correct in that recollection?
You're always correct, Pete.
Thank you.
I'd have to say, I think you're reasonably on the money there.
I think I'm reasonably on the money. Now, those things are occasionally brought up, and John Howard said different times.
Mm.
Yeah, 20 years ago, it's a different time. But he was critical of the level of Asian migration. He's obviously now progressed.
Well, he has. He's moved on. And interestingly enough, now, I think possibly there could be something going on here. Oh, just possibly. Possibly. Because, as you know, Asia and Southeast Asia, which John Howard was particularly talking about, Australia is part of Southeast Asia.
Yep.
Basically, as we know, is home to some of the poorest countries in the world.
Yep.
And at the same time, they are exactly right for the picking. It's also home to widespread political repression. So, torture, disappearances, police abuse, ethnic tensions, religious persecution, stuff like that, right?
Yep.
And I think I think there's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about this? Okay, in Jakarta, right? Indonesia remains not a fully functioning democracy, religious tensions, stuff like that. It's run by the military. Technically, military dictatorship, okay? All right, that's a neighbour. John Howard wants to be... Professional radio. John Howard wants to be part of this region, right?
And because we've signed an agreement.
We have.
Recently with him.
Otherwise known as the Mutual Non-Aggression Pact.
It is.
Yes, I've heard that.
In Vietnam at the moment, for this APEC summit that he was at, the Vietnamese government decided to get rid of all the street kids off the streets. Do you know where they ended up?
Where?
No one knows.
Oh,
they've just disappeared.
Well, it worked then. Why are you so critical?
Oh, look, I don't know, but I am. Also in Vietnam, you know, part of this group that John Howard wants to become part of, the Vietnamese government has just recently decided that what they want to do is they want to have what they're calling an online chat about controversial issues with ordinary citizens through the Vietnamese Communist Party's website. Now, what they're doing is, you know, people can come out and say what they think and ask questions. Well, the only problem is the people who ask critical questions seem to be disappearing.
That's a bit unfortunate.
They're kind of dropping off the twig. No one really knows where, but they're just disappearing, jail, prison. Hey, what are you going
to
call
it? Is this similar to, say, the human rights... I won't loathe to use the word abuses. Human rights skirmishes.
Well, some could say that.
Human rights, you know, vague disagreements.
Détendre.
All those things. Human rights, you know... sort of little arguments that occur in China, for example.
Well, it's strange you speak about that.
Yes.
Strange you speak about that. What about China, our new friend in the Asian region? What about China and, say, I don't know, Tibet? It's a thought.
Is it really a thought? Tiananmen Square?
All those kind of things. Now, interestingly enough, John Howard says we want to become a part of Asia, we want to become part of this, which is nice for him, thank you, you know, that's good.
And ultimately, he's vaguely right.
He is vaguely right, but you'd have to wonder why with these kind of, you know, injustices. And then I thought to myself, John Howard, Tampa, locking up detention seekers, Aboriginal justice, you know, social justice towards the poor. Maybe it all makes sense. Basically, what John Howard is doing, he's modelling us after all these kind of pseudo-democracies or not democracies.
Intriguing.
You see?
Very intriguing.
We're all part of this. Look. The anti-terrorist bill that went through Parliament, possibly, you see, it's all coming. The migration bill, gone through Parliament, you see what's happening?
Sedition laws?
Exactly. He's already working it out.
So what you're saying to us?
Copyright laws? Oh, no, it's completely different.
Close enough, but could happen.
That John Howard is, in fact, a communist.
Well,
amazing!
But you see,
I'm stunned.
No wonder.
I'm stunned as well.
No wonder we are naturally, comfortably, and permanently part of this region and see our future in it. We're, in fact, forming this region, you see. We are. We're becoming one.
We're the vanguard.
We are. We're the progenitors.
We are.
You see, we can spread it. We can spread it. Tonga.
Tonga.
Perfect. You see, we're already spreading it that way. New Zealand.
Solomon Islands.
Bougainville.
East Timor.
New Guinea. It's brilliant, you see. Look, I think Australia has a lot to be proud of. I think we're going to fit in very nicely in the Southeast Asian region.
Look, to me...
Long live human rights.
There are...
As long as they freaking learn to speak English.
Yeah.
The interesting one for me, of course, is Burma.
Mm.
Now, Burma, of course, is a military dictatorship.
It is. Some call it that. Others call it a People's Republic of Democratic Love.
Socialist Democratic Republic of Burma.
Mm.
Burma's a bit of a military dictatorship. Of course, I think Aung San Suu Kyi, is that the correct pronunciation?
Something like that.
Is still, I believe, currently under house arrest.
Oh, it's not so much house arrest as she's currently at home quite a bit.
Yeah, and can't leave.
Well, she can leave.
When they take her back to the cell.
Or they shoot her if she can leave.
She can leave if she can get past the guards at the front door.
Yeah, fair enough. So,
see, come on, that's fair.
And Burma, of course, is trying to open itself to Western...
Well, she's a troublemaker. I mean, what are you going to do? Look, if people are out to make trouble, you've got to look them up.
Mm.
I mean, we did the very same thing here.
Exactly. People who come into the country who are fleeing persecution, we locked them up.
Exactly.
Does this
bring up an issue, perhaps, of, shall we say, hypocrisy?
Or hypocrisy. Look, I don't know. You see, I think the thing is, I think John Howard's opening his horizons.
Mm.
I think he's looking and he's saying, you know, social justice, not a big fan of it, neither are some of these countries. Let's be friends. He's found a common ground.
Is there something about the countries that actually stand there and say to people, what you're doing is not good?
Hypocrites.
Is there a connection between those and the fact that perhaps they are... mass torturers themselves? Let's talk here about the United States, for example.
Exactly.
The United States has legislated for the ability of the US military forces to use torture
to gain
information.
Let's be fair.
Waterboarding, for example.
I believe the term is interrogation. So let's be fair.
But they're allowed to use techniques generally regarded as torture.
Well, when they were invented, they were.
Look, we're moving on. We've gone back to your favourite topic, the US.
No, but my point here is that I think in order to be a first world country, in order to be a leader in a region, that you have to have experience at what it of being, you know, a torturer, an oppressor of human rights,
Someone who locks people up without trial. See, it's perfect.
Because it's perfect. How can you tell someone else to improve their ways?
Yes.
To become more of a democracy when you yourself have not experienced that level of, shall we say, violent torture?
Yes. Mm. Yes, fair enough. That kind of repression.
The metaphysical electrodes on the testicles.
John Howard's doing it proud.
Didn't certain South Eastern... Asian, I don't know what I'm talking about. Certain Asian countries almost invented this new way of torture, didn't they? Didn't they not?
Much of it has come from the Chinese.
They don't call it the Chinese water torture.
For no reason.
Because of the famous Bulgarian that invented it.
That's very true. Very true. Mm. To me, it's a frightening concept that I mean, but it's an important thing. I think Australia needs to. There's a few things we need to. I agree. You've talked about sedition laws and things like that. I think we should actually introduce mandatory torture into our police force.
Look,
we should legalise.
Yeah, absolutely. Torture them as much as we can, I reckon.
You know, let's think about it logically. If we legalise the torture, it doesn't have to be hidden anymore. How much money is it costing us?
Think of all the legal costs.
Exactly.
You see? Perfect.
Think of how many yellow pages that the average policeman will save.
You're just going to keep going until you get a phone book gag.
Had to get the phone book gag in, and someone had to like a vaguely giggle. There we go.
I'm happy.
You're happy?
Good. I think we're done.
You're done here now?
Mm.
Excellent. Anything else?
No. Right. Thank you.
This is Walking Back Forest, Church Bar, 88.5 FM. And
part of the Junta Collective.
Part of the Junta Collective. And don't forget, throughout your travels, remember that John Howard is one of Australia's best actors.
First of all, Scientology, from my experience as a member, is a very slick mind control system which is posing as a religion to get out of paying taxes. It is a UFO cult. It's a world domination scheme. And it is a Nazi cult in disguise. It is all these things rolled up into one.
Two huge interlocking circles, markings on the desert soil that cannot be seen from the ground, but can be seen from the heavens.
I think they're not designed to be seen by human beings, but by alien beings.
Michael Pattinson says he was a member of the Church of Scientology for 23 years. Now he's a disgruntled ex-member who says the circles are signposts for reincarnated Scientologists who come from outer space.
I know it sounds very, very bizarre, but this is where reality is stranger than fiction.
You know, South Park, it may be just a cartoon, but they did a very good job of explaining the upper-level theology of Scientology. Starting at OT3, you're introduced to Xenu, the evil galactic overlord.
It all began 75 million years ago. Back then, there was a galactic federation of planets, which was ruled over by the evil lord Xenu. Xenu thought his galaxy was overpopulated, and so he rounded up countless aliens from all different planets, and then had those aliens frozen. The frozen alien bodies were loaded onto Xenu's galactic cruisers, which looked like DC-8, except with rocket engines. The cruisers then took the frozen alien bodies to our planet, Earth, and dumped them into the volcanoes of Hawaii. The aliens were no longer frozen. They were dead. The souls of those aliens, however, lived on and all floated up towards the sky. But the evil Lord Xenu had prepared for this. Xenu didn't want their souls to return, and so he built giant soul catchers in the sky. Souls were taken to a huge soul brainwashing facility, which Xenu had also built on Earth. There, the souls were forced to watch days of brainwashing material, which tricked them into believing a false reality. Xenu then released the alien souls, which roamed the Earth aimlessly in a fog of confusion. At the dawn of man, the souls finally found bodies which they could grab onto. They attached themselves to all mankind, which still to this day causes all our fears, our confusions, and our problems.
L. Ron Hubbard was a very prolific psychobabbler. What L. Ron Hubbard was really good at was hypnosis and mind control methods. And on the very first communication course, Hubbard introduces a very clever set of hypnotic drills. These are called TRs, or for training routines. And these drills are flat-out hypnotic drills, but these drills are done with two people sitting staring at each other. We had to do a two-hour no-blink drill. In other words, sitting staring at another person for 2 hours without blinking.
Well, Pam, what happens if you blink?
You start over.
Katie has mentioned that she is embracing or at least exposing herself and opening herself up to Scientology. At this stage in your life, could you be with someone who doesn't have an interest? You know, Scientology is something that you don't understand. It's like you could be a Christian and be a Scientologist.
It's not possible. And in fact, Tom was sort of violating a Scientology public relations strategy there. They used to make that claim that you could be a Catholic and a Scientologist, and enough people called them on it that they backed off and they stopped making that claim in public. You cannot be a Scientologist and a Christian for the simple reason that the essence of Scientology is belief in reincarnation. So although there are Scientologists who claim that they are Catholic and Scientologist or Christian and Scientologist, if you ask any Catholic priest or any Christian minister, can I believe in this and be a Scientologist, he'll say no.
It is a religion because it's dealing with the spirit, you know, you as a spiritual being. And it's something that there's tools that you have that I can actually, that you apply to your life.
It never is. I mean, there's tons of courses, tapes, books. It's nonstop.
For my daughter to go through OT7, it was approximately $200,000 and 6 years. Her husband went through the same thing. 7 years, another $200,000.
The founder of the Scientology religion, L. Ron Hubbard, made it clear in his writings the reasons for his teachings of silent birth. The words uttered during the pains of giving birth can trigger irrational fears and unwanted emotions for the soon-to-be-born youngster.
Viacom chairman Sumner Redstone blamed the decision to part ways on the star's promotion of Scientology and other behavior, which he said was unacceptable.
What has happened to you?
Redstone charged that conduct soured the box office returns for Cruise's summer movie, Mission Impossible 3, by up to $150 million.
Scientology has one set of rules for celebrities and another set for everyone else.
We've never seen you behave this way before.
I know.
Have you ever...
That's why I decided it was an Nazi cult in disguise. They had their own Mad Messiah, L. Ron Hubbard. They had their own Gestapo. They had their own SS. And they set up their own prison camps called the RPF, Rehabilitation Project Force. When you screwed up, they sent you to this camp for rehabilitation.
Something happened to you! Something happened to you!
And what would you call that piece? Do you have a name? Then you're the Junta man behind it.
I'd call it Smack My Hubbard Up.
Smack My Hubbard Up. Nice. I like that. That was good. And that was put together by our own.
I can't think of who said that.
I don't know.
What are you going to say it again for?
It is redundant.
Why are you giving props?
Say it freaking once. That's all you need.
No, I'm giving double props.
It's meant to be
double
anonymous.
Double props.
I want to know when the word props came into the English language.
Tone Loke?
I think so.
Oh, really?
It's around 23 minutes the hour.
It's still a lot
here on.
And what is it short for?
No idea.
Propensity?
Possibly.
Props? I don't
know. No,
I don't. Get props.
I don't even think it's the right word, but I think you got the wrong
one. Yeah, no, it is right. It's the right context, but I just don't
I'll look it up in the Urban Dictionary in the next break.
Yeah, right.
23 minutes to the hour of 12 o'clock here on Twitch Play 88.5 FM, or, of course, if you're on our podcast, it's now. Check out our website, by the way, www.walkblackforest.org. There's plenty of stuff there and stuff. Also links to heaps of things. I thought it'd be evocative. Mysterious.
You are. You know, you're mysterious and kooky.
I am. Mm. Richard, I believe you have a piece of paper.
I can't remember the next line, I'll tell you to say.
Okay, go for it.
For the little spooky.
That's on my next line. Mysterious and spooky.
A little kooky? We're all a little kooky?
I don't know. Don't guess. You either know it or you don't know it.
Up there, Buki.
Up there, Buki.
Hey, enough of Christina Ricci, okay? She's hot.
Right, so I was doing some research for a segment that comes later in the show this evening.
Yep. Mm.
And I bumped into a little page, which is... usually I go to Google.
Yep.
Right, I go to Google News. You could do your own little Millions of Peaches segment at home if you want.
Oh, that's a great idea. Entertain your friends.
Exactly. You could set up your own little Google Millions of Peaches party.
Yep.
The Woobuff party pack.
Yep.
Actually, we could do that. Yeah, the Woobuff Millions of Peaches party pack.
Nice.
Let's market it. I like it. It can come with a free T-shirt.
Yep. And looking at it this week, there wasn't much along the Geldof lines. Except one reference here that happened to appear, and I kid you not, 3,000 times in various newspapers.
Excuse me?
I've actually got the story here from Fox News.
Yep.
You know, so I hear they're one of the most reputable news organisations in the world.
They definitely are. And that's why I use them, because we're not journalists.
No, we report. You decide.
Exactly.
Exactly. Not the other way. No. We decide.
You report. You report.
So,
I believe that's the motto of citizens journalism.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, I was reading through this, and the title of it is Entertainment Highlights in History.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I found out is every week, these 3,000-odd papers scattered across the US have this syndicated short article. It's actually from AP. So,
yep.
And it's the Entertainment Highlights for the week. The 19th to the 25th of November.
Oh,
so
awesome.
This week, entertainment highlights in history. What happened in history in entertainment this week?
That's very exciting.
I believe Princess Mary... No, sorry.
So I'm going to go through them all, but the one that
Princess Margaret
got me the most, and it's not really funny, but it's Do They Know It's Christmas? The Band-Aid song is listed here. It was recorded in London at the time, and it says the session was organised by singer Bob Geldof. Is considered an entertainment highlight.
Really? Now, did they actually watch it?
Well, it is for Midura. Because not much else happened to Midge, really.
Yeah, not really.
No.
I was just a little taken aback. Not you know, a great a moment in cultural history or in fighting world hunger. It's an entertainment highlight.
How do you think Bob Geldof feels about that? Because he pretty much sees that as probably one of the defining moments of the universe.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Who cares?
Big Bang?
Oh, yeah, Big Bang.
Bob Geldof Band-Aid.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
No.
Sputnik.
No, you missed one. You missed one.
Don't like Mondays.
Exactly. Birth of Peaches.
Birth of Peaches,
I don't know. Was he there? Did he realise? Does he know who she is?
Did I actually bring that one?
I don't know. Did you?
So, the Beatles' White Album was released this week.
Excellent.
In 1968.
I was going to say.
Did you know that Paul McCartney is now officially 64?
Is he really? Well, that's funny.
And funnily enough, did you also know? I actually did this for a couple of weeks ago for Woolworth, and we didn't actually run with it. How many references were articles were made when Paul McCartney turned 64 to the song When I'm 64?
64?
No. Something close. I think it's something as opposite of about 220,000 separate references on Google to When I'm 64, Paul McCartney, birthday 64.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Slap me silly.
I know. Gee, journalists. Original.
They're so predictable. You know what's good about journalists? Copy, paste.
Well, it was the same as when, in 1987, when it was the 20th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's, 1986, sorry, when it was the 20th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's, the number of articles that used the phrase, it was 20 years ago today.
Mm. That's hilarious.
Nice. That's and awesome. Funny journalists. Ace.
They're actually funny in these lines. But anyway. Michael Hutchins hung himself this week.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
In 97, do you believe that?
97.
It was 10 years ago.
No, I don't believe that. So Bob Geldof had Band-Aid, and so that was like however many years ago, and then Hutchins hung himself on the same day some years later. You know what this is?
Link.
It's not a coinky-dink. I think this is a conspiracy.
No, I think so. You're right, too. I think Michael, when he was sitting there auto-eroticising...
Mm. Maybe that's what he was auto-eroticising about.
Could have been.
You know what? You know which...
Do they know it's Christmas time again?
Jingle bell? Jingle. Do you know who you know who we should call?
I'm dreaming of white Christmas.
Michael Hutchins' mum. We should call her. What's her name again?
Patricia.
Right, good.
Tosser.
It's true.
Yeah,
that's her name. Her name is Patricia Forsyth.
Patricia Forsyth. Write that down.
Yeah, I think it's right.
That's so wrong.
I think it's right.
That's it. I was going to read out the rest because they're not funny. I just thought it was funny that the entertainment highlight was the fact that the Band-Aid song came out.
I just like the fact that the Band-Aid song and Michael Hutchins were on the same day.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think that's a certain... I agree with Abe. There's no coincidence there.
No. Got them in the wrong way.
Yeah,
that's it. Oh, can I do a quick one then?
Yeah, sure.
Can you use the toilet? It's just down the hall and to the left.
Just to fill up the rest of the time that I didn't use.
Sure. This is go for it.
This is about names that are used in the UK given to children in the last month, I think it was.
How many Harrys were there? Lots of Harrys.
Now you're talking.
Harry
now,
Potter.
36 boys and girls are called Arsenal.
I'm sorry?
Arsenal.
They're going to be called Arse.
It gets much worse.
Oh, my God.
Not really. Three boys have been called David Beckham.
As the first name?
As the first name.
David Beckham Smith.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Hello, my name is David Beckham Smith. Oh, really?
And, not David Beckham Smith. David Beckham Smith.
That's it.
You've got to get that right.
And 28 boys are called Brooklyn. Who's David Beckham's son? Yeah.
And Romeo, the other one.
29 are called Gazza.
That'd be okay in Britain. Hey, Gazza, what's up?
Yeah, except
if you're a geezer called Gazza.
Yep.
Hey, Gazza, you're a geezer. What?
1,200 boys are called Tiger, after Tiger Woods.
You are kidding me.
Make a tiger, tiger.
Two kids are called Reeboks.
Reebok.
Box.
With an X?
Yes, with an X. And three are called Adidas.
Now, can I just say...
Now, obviously no consideration
by Adidas.
But when they get to primary school and all the teasing that's going to go on, hey, Adidas...
Does it remind you of the days when the Brazilian soccer team won the World Cup in 1986 and the mother named the child after every single member of the Brazilian soccer team?
Really?
Maybe she didn't know who the father was.
That's a fair point.
Okay.
And that gag's been made on Google at least 22,000 times.
Oh, come on. I just thought of it then.
Yeah.
Six boys have the first name of Gandalf. One is called Harry Potter.
Who really wants to be Ian McKellen? Do you want to be Ian McKellen?
And two boys are called Superman.
Sorry, there's two boys called Superman. Their name is Superman. What's wrong with these
people? Unfortunately, one is Brett Ratner's son.
1,200 are called...
And the other is Kevin Smith's son.
1,200 are Keanu.
Oh, good Lord. See, this is amazing. Do parents actually think about what their kids go through? Mine didn't.
426 are called Dre.
You've got a situation, when you go up to those kids and you say, kids, you're enjoying school? They just sit there and go, whoa. Mm.
27 called Tupac.
and one of them called Three-Pack, because their parents didn't understand.
Seven called Jay-Z.
Six-Pack.
And three called Snoop.
See, look, if you're going to call your kid Tupac, you know he's going to die early.
Even better, they could have called their kid Biggie Smalls.
There are 7,261 Kylies.
Yeah, of course there are. England.
265 Beyonces.
Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Ah.
Beyonce.
I didn't know.
288.
Cultural wastelands.
288 Madonnas. Wow. 2,614 Shakiras.
Nice.
You see, but the mods...
1,600 Britneys.
But the Madonnas could be a cultural reference.
Two apples.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
And one of those is Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, that's named... well, it's named after their kids.
Yes, it is. Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's kid. Yeah. Other kids.
That's the third.
That's the other kid. The other kid's got a weird name, too.
Yes.
472 are called Peaches.
Really? There's that many Peaches?
Yep.
Wow. Peaches.
348 are called Dido. Or Dido.
And three of them are called Dildo.
8,000 called Kira.
After Kira Knightley, I'm sure.
Kira Knightley, yep.
Why can't
16,000 Demis.
16,000, really?
Or, as I prefer to say, Demi.
Oh, yes.
And,
well, that's what Aston Kutcher says,
Aston
anyway.
Is, isn't it? The classic for me is the two Supermans.
Yeah, that's
I think that's awesome.
Now, can I just say...
What's your name? Superman.
Batman?
Sure. I was going to say, what about Spider-Man?
What about him?
Got to give him some
Spider-Man.
Free time. Spider-Man.
Is anyone called The Flash? That's what I'd like to know.
Only Grandmaster.
Only Grandmaster. That's okay.
That was good.
Thank you. Got me out of that one, really.
Right.
I was trying to think of more obscure superheroes. I could. You know what I want to be?
What?
I want to be the Green Lantern.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
No, not really. Okay. I like green. It's a good colour.
Speaking of... Am I doing this?
No, I was going to say one other, thing. We might as well fit it in while I have half a chance.
That's what he said.
For those of you who are fans of Lord of the Rings, firstly, but secondly...
Steady on!
But secondly, for those of you who are fans of Peter Jackson, thirdly, he's not doing the next two Lord of the Rings films, which is interesting because, Tolkien...
They want it to be interesting, that's why.
Tolkien only wrote three Lords of the Rings.
I was going to say, are there more Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, all written by...
his sons aren't making those.
Yeah, Christopher Tolkien.
They can't be making... Are they making those?
I believe that's what they're basing it on, is the...
They're making that. They're making the original one, aren't they? The
Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
No.
Hobbit.
They're not making the Silmarillion,
really,
are they?
According to Jackson, there were three films in the offing. Two more Lord of the Rings films and The Hobbit.
Bullshit.
No, it was on... If you check it out today, it's on AP Today. It's also on the Herald site. There's an article with the now slimmed down, as we mentioned before.
I don't know why I'm talking about this shit.
But there are two more Lord of the Rings films.
I feel like I'm an extra on fucking Smeg.
That new line of planning. And there is also... The Hobbit. And he's been kicked off all three. He said that him and his partner, Fran...
Thresher.
Walsh.
Jellicoe.
Fran Walsh, yeah.
Yes.
Have part of the company, and they're looking for
a story, some actors, and a director who knows what he's fucking
doing. I was going to say, they're actually looking forward to a director.
So, I'm a little confused.
Yeah,
so was he, but that never stopped.
Because exactly. In the same months he dumped off the movies that... If they're the same movies that made his life, you know, him famous, potentially, worldwide scale.
Yeah, Brain Dead.
Worldwide scale.
The Brain
Brighteners.
No,
Meet the Feebles.
It wasn't Meet the Feebles.
He did Meet
Brain Dead, I suppose.
Yes, true.
Meet the Feebles.
Yeah. No, Frighteners. The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox.
Yes. You know why they got him for that? Because Tim Burton refused to do it.
Oh, nice.
This week in entertainment history, Michael J. Fox announced that he had Parkinson's disease.
Oh, very. See, you read Link. More than Link.
Nice. Link.
And Michael J. Fox was a big part, I think, anyway, of the success of some of the Democrats in the American House elections.
Possibly so.
With his pro-Semcel, Semcel research ad. There we go. Now that linked us back.
Link.
Good on you. 88 geniuses. This is a Walking Mike Price here on 88.5 FM.
Yeah.
There we go. That was Nirvana's Rape Me, by the way.
No, it wasn't. That was the introduction to Peaches.
Before that was Nirvana's Rape Me off In Utero. Mm. And that goes out to basically anyone who thinks it's relevant to them. Time, ladies and gentlemen, for millions. Oh, Peaches, as we head into the last 7 minutes or so of the show.
7 minutes so.
Yep, what do we got?
Geloff news, pretty thin in the offing this week.
I heard it was the 20th anniversary of Band-Aid somewhere.
No.
No.
Really?
No? I heard that.
Was that even 20 years ago, was it? Yeah. 20 years ago
no
today.
No one cares. No one cares.
20 years ago today, Bob Geldof and his friends got a room and
learned
it off.
Can I just say that... spottings, a couple of spottings,
mm-hmm.
that Michael Jackson was honoured this week
At the American
By
School
a bunch of French? No. Huh? It was a special... yeah, it was. Hmm. Yeah, it was at the World Music Awards, hosted by Lindsay Lohan, which I'm going to get to in a second because she was booed off stage. What?
Oh, sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze.
Was this yet another exception?
Lindsay Lohan. What's she done for drugs or something? I don't know.
She's a party girl. She was a Disney actress.
You like her, don't you?
I like
me.
I like Lindsay.
You like Lindsay Lohan?
Oh, yeah.
You're big on little young chicks, aren't you?
Dude.
I don't think I'm going to answer that question.
Dude.
Lindsay Lohan.
I'm going to give you...
Skank. Hold on. Wait, if I could... Okay. Let me imagine something. If you got a huge banner and you strung it between Earth and, say, Pluto, and you wrote skank on it, so that it fit evenly on the page,
Pluto's not a planet anymore.
You would be somewhere towards the truth about Lindsay Lohan.
That's a big project.
I'm going to mention
Halle Burton would get that.
They would.
I'm going to mention truth. So we're running out of time.
It's Friday.
Have you got something interesting to say, or just going to cream yourself over her? I don't even know what she looks like. What was she in?
Freaky Friday, the remake.
Never seen it.
The Mean Girls.
Yeah, right. Don't know that.
She was in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Good claim to fame then.
She's been in pretty much...
And she's in the new Robert Altman film, Perry Hankin.
Everyone?
She's pretty much been to most of the sexual health clinics around Los Angeles at various points.
So, people who actually
crotch,
got up and celebrated...
It's fire crotch, it is.
Celebrated...
Funny.
Michael Jackson's career included the aforementioned Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
That's it.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton.
Yep.
Elle McPherson.
Yep.
Eva Herzegova, whoever that is.
She's a model,
apparently.
Yeah.
Katie Melua.
Katie Melua, who's a pianist.
Yeah. Natalie Imbruglia.
Yep.
Who's and Peaches and Pixie.
Nice.
The Gerloff Sisters.
Yep.
That's it. Fuck them.
Yep.
Now, Lohan was booed off the stage.
Surprise, surprise.
At one point, because she was just hopeless, apparently. People making fun of her and everything. And so she left halfway through and fell down a flight of stairs.
She's
to
a bit,
the
of
back.
A bit of a party girl, is Ellen.
Do you want me to send you my collection of Lindsay Lohan not wearing anything collection?
No interest whatsoever.
While she's falling downstairs.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good.
Was she falling at the time?
She falls down a lot of stairs, actually.
I think someone was falling into her.
She's helped into a lot of cars.
That's usually where the no underwear policy comes into being.
Right.
Yeah.
So Peaches got up and gave the award for World's Best Latin Artist to Shakira.
Yep.
And
her album Oral Fixation Part 2.
She loves her breasts.
It wasn't specific here. Anyway, so then Peaches...
I just thought I'd embellish.
Peaches walked off, and they waited 5 minutes for Shakira to walk onto the stage, and she did not do so. So Peaches had to get back up again and apologise and say, I've just spoken to Shakira on the phone, and she's very thankful for the award.
Nice.
What, they rang her because she forgot to turn up?
Exactly. That's how much they cared. They won't be asking Lindsay Lohan back. Peter Gabriel...
Not the only one.
...receives a Peace Award.
Peace of what? The top, piece, the bottom, the
piece,
side of it.
Piece of award.
No. Oh,
sorry, piece of award. Piece on the award.
From the Gorbachev Institute, the Gorbachev Foundation.
Yep. What am I going to get one
previous,
of those?
This is the thing that worried me. Previous winners were Lech Walesa.
Yep.
Right? I don't know who Corrigan McGuire is.
Who? What, where?
I don't know. I'm not going to show you. Okay. Fuck off. Cat Stevens, or as it says here, the singer once known as Cat Stevens.
No, he was Yusuf Islam.
Wouldn't you actually use his real name? The only reason you say the artist formerly known as Prince is because he didn't have a name.
That's true.
Otherwise, you would call him as his current name. So to say the singer once known as Cat Stevens is pretty stupid, if you ask me. Anyway, Bob Geldof has won the award.
Yep.
And, Yusuf Islam. Yep. So, a peace prize.
Yep.
What's Peter Gabriel?
Okay. Well, he hasn't done an album in a couple of years. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm thinking. That's it.
Sledgehammer!
Can I just say that if you want to see the previous winners of the Gorbachev Foundation Award, you can go to Mikhail Gorbachev's website, which is...
www.IBoughtDownTheBerlinWallAndNoOneElseDid.com.
You're very close.
www.GorbyBaldHeadInkSpot.com.
You're even closer. It's www.gorby.ru.
Nice. Oh, isn't that
Now,
shouldn't it be Rodoshnish?
I think I know what Peter Gabriel got it. because he refused to reform Genesis.
That's beautiful. Right. No wonder. I reckon.
I'd agree.
That's an awesome reason. Also, Al Pacino.
Yep.
Is going to Dublin this week. This is the last one. Going to Dublin this week to collect an honorary award from Trinity College. He's to accept the honorary patronage of the university's Philosophical Society.
Yep.
Following in the footsteps of Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Yep.
Who's been a great contributor to philosophy. Yep. Bertie Ahern.
Yep.
I don't know who Bertie Ahern is.
He was an Irish president of Ireland. Yeah.
Right. Probably a great philosopher. And that other great, enormously popular philosopher, Bob Geldof.
Nice.
Whose contribution to philosophy probably uniquely consists of I Don't Like Mondays.
I was just about to say.
A post-existentialist work.
Definitely a post-existentialist work about the beginning of the working week.
Yep.
Really going into the to the paradigmatic shift that you know, workers have to move from sort of a monocultural structure to an extant post structuralist environment.
I believe that you're probably reading excerpts from his
thesis.
Speech. At the time.
I am.
How hard did you punch him before? Made no sense at all.
Surprisingly enough, Pacino is actually an expert in Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, fair enough.
So he'll be doing a speech on Oscar Wilde and getting the award that Bob Geldof got for being a toss.
Look at the time. I am a time guru.
Ow! I'm not going to rise to it. If you didn't bring it, that's your fault.
Thank you for joining us this week. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
It's been lovely.
It has been fun.
If you'd like to check out the website,
things
you can.
Things I have to do.
www.walkblackforest.org.
And if you want to complain, you write to the Honorary John Howard, P.O. Box 1, Parliament House, Canberra.
And if you'd like, if you have a question for Peterpedia.
Yeah.
Peterpedia. At walkblackforest.org.
Indeed.
There was one question on Peterpedia this week.
Was there?
Yeah, it was more an answer. It was, how do I make my dick really big? And it was these new pills, apparently.
So excellent.
I didn't bring it in. So I'm going to try them first, and then I'll let you know how it goes.
Excellent. I had a great spare today.
Spammy dick much?
I had a great spare today whose name, and they were promoting Viagra, was Gilbert Q Tissue.
I tell you, I got spam for myself.
I don't think they do either.
Okay, good.
I got spam for myself.
It wasn't on your list either.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't send it. I just got spam for myself.
There wasn't one person called Tissue, was there?
No.
No. He's original. We're out of here. And we'll see you next week or here on this station or on our website, www.walkblackforest.org, if you're podcasting. And come out next. Fabrication.
Debris. I thought it was the brute.
Debris.
You see the brush here.
Yeah. Detendre, mate.
You should learn.
Detendre.
You should learn proper pronunciation of French.
Also, check out www.frankanddale.com. That's a place to check. And you might get that detendre joke.
And remember, don't finish the show on a question.